Welcome back, friends and foes, to another fine episode. We're on the alliteration game today of Cancel Me, Baby. And what are we talking about today? But the digital town square. So grab your pitchforks, people, because we are going in for the kill. Who is up on the roster today in the Cancel Me, Baby sphere where we are in the business of cancel me? I don't give two shits. I dare you today. Nobody is safe because we are talking Don Lemon and Elon. We're talking Beyonce. We're talking the AI shipwreck, train wreck of Gemini and Firefly. And what have you, who would have thought, but the ring around the rosy circle jerk between none other than Chris Cuomo and Tucker Carlson. So let's get right into it, people, shall we? We ain't got time to kill. Life is crazy, and we are keeping things interesting here. That is for sure. We are not about this news fest that some other, other peeps, other shows concern themselves with. We're here to get into it. So first up at bat is Don Lemon and Elon Musk, which honestly, we talk about the public square. This shit may as well have been the Salem witch trials. And who is the witch bitch? Actually, Don Lemon was the bitch, but it like Elon Musk was the witch up being burnt at the stake. So here's what happened, okay? Witchy bitchy shit going on indeed, thanks to Donnie. So Don Lemon launches what was ultimately like a failed, not a failed SpaceX mission, but a failed X, formerly Twitter, show that was going to be his own because he was going, unbeknownst to him, he was about to have the worst nails on a chalkboard interview with the Elon Musk as a kickoff of this endeavor. Because Elon Musk, again, if you're living in a cave, if you are in the prehistoric eras of our time, which we are going to get to, which Don Lemon wants to remind us of. Elon Musk took over Twitter, now X, in hopes of preserving what had been the ultimate, clusterfuck of speech, of things being censored and funneled and narratives being shape-shifted and information flow and all of that, right? In hopes of what he says of preserving the digital town square. So he invited people like Don Lemon, the CNNs of it all, who he, the Rachel Maddows, what have you, like Tucker Carlson to have shows on X. But with Don Lemon, he had put his money in a business partnership behind this to have Don Lemon's show. But there was a little contentious nature going on between these two. I mean, we needed to break this up at the schoolyard. And I have to say on this one, listen, I don't agree with everything that Elon Musk says, but I have to be team Elon on this one. Like, ride that spaceship, cowboy, because Don Lemon was just on some BS and some nonsense, which I'm going to get into. And listen, the whole reason that everybody's talking about this is because Elon Musk dropped the deal immediately, like probably even before. He probably has a chip in his brain that communicated to Don Lemon's agent before this shit even finished, being like, the contract is up, the show is canceled. He's welcome to have his show on here, but I'm not going to financially partner with it and back it, right? Because I'm going to explain why, but he was understandably, I was annoyed watching it. I was so irritated. I wanted to climb into my screen. I wanted to put Don Lemon in, time out in suspension, like no PE for him today, because that really is what it felt like. It felt like the little kid, antagonizing the school principal, like just childish. It's like you're going up against Elon Musk. Like, what are you even doing? And Elon Musk also picked up on the fact that this is basically just CNN. He said it's not authentic. And it is. Don Lemon completely, it felt like he was totally accusatory. And it felt like, like I said, the Salem witch trials, it just felt like a persecution. It was not an interview. So Elon Musk pulls the plug on that shit. And listen, this is a sidebar debate. And I've wondered this about Elon Musk. Is can he just not be criticized? He's this eccentric billionaire you know, he has Asperger's, he has all, he's on ketamine, he's sending ships into space and some revolutionary, you know, scientific genius madness and things we may never understand. Like, but can he not, can he dish it and not take it? Like, does he have a big ego at stake? We've heard before of times where he's, again, it's all about free speech. And yet, is he a free speech absolutist where then he's, you know, turned around and has punished people on X, employees of his, what have you, that are critical of him, right? So Don Lemon did bring this up, but that is a sidebar for another time. Like, again, there are billionaire egos at stake here, of course. But I also think at the end of the day, it's like, sure, don't poke the bear. Like, don't make fun of Elon. Don't annoy Elon Musk. Like, fine. This wasn't even making fun of. This was just obnoxious. And as he even says, he's like, Donnie boy, like, I don't need to be wasting my time with you. Like, I'm running Tesla. I'm basically running the fucking world. I'm running your brain. Like, I don't need to be bothered with peasants like you, right? So that's a whole other ball of wax of Elon Musk. Is he really a free, does he have a fragile ego? Is he really about free speech? Is it hypocritical, all this? And I'm not here to dig into that today because this is so much more fascinating. There is something to be said about all that. But Elon Musk, towards the end, during and towards the end of the interview, is getting really irritable with Donnie because of aforementioned reasons. And now the whole CNN, even Don Lemon, like the media is jerking off to this because they're like, oh, Elon Musk just can't take the hard questions. It's like, no, Don Lemon is the worst interviewer ever. And this, again, this shit is unbearable to watch. And I'm going to save you all. You're welcome. For more things than not, I'm going to save you an hour and 20 minutes of your life, okay? But the part to me, again, they got into all kinds of things. They got into DEI, they got into ketamine, they got into, you know, Trump, they got into the great replacement theory. Again, all these things I'm not going to go into the weeds of. But when Don Lemon brings up with Elon Musk the woke mind virus that Elon, you know, Bill Maher has talked about this, I've talked about this, obviously Elon Musk has talked about this. And basically, Don Lemon is, like I said, prosecuting him, being like, so do you know what woke, the derivative meaning of woke even is? So are you saying that our country wasn't built on slaves? Are you saying that slavery wasn't a part of our history and that we should just ignore it? And the experience of me and any trans person and person of color and brown person and woman and minority just shouldn't matter? And this is what I can't stand about, like, again, who gave, this is where I will judge you, Elon Musk. Like, where in your judgment was to back financially and give me a show. Give me a show. Forget this clown. What are you doing? But Elon Musk basically says, I never said that. Like, what are you even saying? And the thing that I can't stand about Don Lemon's firing of questioning is that his questions are so condescending. They're not even questions, they're statements. They're so condescending and they're so loaded. So it would say, he would say things like, oh, so again, do our experience not count? Was race not a thing? Is anti-Semitism not a thing? And it's so, I can't stand it. Like I said, it's so condescending and it's so accusatory. It's like, this is not a conversation even to be had. But, and it just, like I said, was just so childish, right? And so then he goes even further as to say, you know, I wouldn't know Elon Musk what it's like, because Elon Musk is from South Africa. And Don Lemon says to him, like, I wouldn't know, for example, like the privileges that you have as a white man to have the success that you've had and the opportunity that you have. I wouldn't know that. And Elon Musk is like, right, but you're a man of color who, like, you're living your dream life. Like, maybe, yes, you've had to, you know, overcome certain things, like because of how you look and because of your race and all of this, but look at where you are now. Like, your success story, you're the American dream, right? So it's a little bit like, what are we even saying here? And this is where Don Lemon completely gets it wrong, because had he reframed, instead of being like such a little like tattletale again on the playground of like at the like the other kids or at the principal, like had he just been like, look, like, do you get that having this view could erase like my experience? But instead it's again like, do you not believe that this is a thing? Should we just ignore it? I'm sure Elon Musk would have been like, no dude, I actually could totally see that. And Elon Musk even says, which was something I've said on the show forever, which is, how do we move forward? Like, I would even take it a step further than Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is very much in the camp, I will say, of like not totally being ignorant to history and not ever acknowledging it, but he's kind of like, the past is in the past and it doesn't serve us to make everything about race, which Don Lemon does all the time. Like, let's move forward. How can we build? How can we like look forward to the future and the present and not repeat that, right? The way I see it, it's a little bit of, I feel like a combo of the two, a happy marriage, if you will, which these two never will have, not in Don's, you know, gayest spaceship dreams, right? But how do we acknowledge our past and incorporate it and not totally whitewash it and be blind to it and ignore it, but also, you know, pave a better future, right? And not make everything through that lens and like acknowledge our process, right? So I would say it's like, again, I'm a little bit of a hybrid, but whereas Elon Musk is like, let's go, like let's set this ship up off literally, right? But so it was just so irritating to watch. And even after the fact, and I'm going to get to this in the end, is even after the whole experience and how Don Lemon visibly makes, like I said, Elon Musk understandably so annoyed. I think Elon Musk at one point is like, you're literally so annoying, because like he actually is. And again, it's like, it's a little bit of a David and Goliath, because Elon Musk, even though he's a quirky and eccentric, is obviously so brilliant. And Don Lemon doesn't go at him with any substance or argumentative backbone. It's just sort of this like, nee, 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 like I said, kind of, you know, empty attacks. But even after the fact, everything Don Lemon says is, has the undertones of, oh, this just happened because I'm gay, because I'm Black. He even went on Instagram and explained how his show got canceled, the interview went awry. And he says, oh, Elon Musk just doesn't like questions from people like me, inferring a Black man, a gay man. And it's like, dude, if anyone had been that annoying, Elon Musk would have swatted you like a fly again and been like, get out of my face. Like, I have things to do. Like, basically, I have a world to lead, like, whether we like it or not, right? But that's what's so ridiculous. And even like, he went on to Twitter, Don Lemon, and was like, you know, would he do this with someone? Is this because I'm Black and gay? And did a whole video and a whole interview dissecting it with somebody. And it's just like, dude, knock it off, complete nonsense. And that's what rings us. That's what is the bridge, the lyrical bridge, if you will, to none other than Beyonce. Because while Don Lemon is somebody who is prominent in the media and I think is super indicative of how many people in this camp think. Today, we're going to be talking about camps and boxes and I'm not talking summer camp where you played 7 minutes in heaven and it was the thrill of your braces life. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about the detrimental camps to our society, but it's indicative of how a lot of people think, seeing everything through these very limiting lens. And here you have Beyonce, who comes out with a preview to her first big country album and does this whole post and writes and just shows the artwork. And she says in it, you know, this has been years in the making, because as a Black woman, I didn't feel I was welcome in the country community. And I've talked about this on my show often, you know, I'm now here in Nashville and I've talked about it with artists on the ground. I've talked about the Maren Morris of it all, the Beyonce entering the chat of it all. And she says, you know, it's been a challenge for me. I wasn't welcome right away with open arms, but here I am with this endeavor. And she says, I hope to one day we can get to a point like, yes, I'm honored to be the first Black woman hitting number one in country in all these charts, but I hope that race is completely irrelevant when we're having these conversations. Have I not? Talk about ego. I don't care. I will stroke my ego on this until the end of time. Have I not been saying that on this show since its conception? Like, again, I have the same feeling as a woman about things. Same thing when we're like, oh, a female CEO. It's like, how about just a CEO? Oh, a female talk host. How about a talk show host? How about just a talk show host, right? I've said that forever. Like, why do we make it a thing? Why? And we can acknowledge again, like Beyonce, yes, I had to claw my way through perhaps because of these things, because of these obstacles. But now that I've made it, why are we making it about that? I feel the exact same way. It's like, can't we just see a person for the creative, the artist, the genius, the doctor, the lawyer, the writer, the thinker, the professor, the whatever they are, for that art and that craft, not because of how they look or their gender or all these. And she intuitively, you know, says that. And it's just like, how interesting, like what a contradiction from the Don Lemons, right? Because what you have so prevalent in our society too is like, I did an episode about this way back when, but the appropriation station of it all. It's like, how dare you, everybody being so territorial and so obsessed with viewing everything through this lens. It's like, you can't see it any other way. In fact, it's ours. You can't touch it. You can't do this. It's our roots. Don't appropriate this. Don't, even as it pertains to like fashion and food, like don't make this, you know, don't you dare make matzo ball soup if you don't have a string of Jew in you. It's like, who gives a fuck, right? And again, there's a time and a place. I'm not being completely, you know, ignorant to it. Or often with the right, what people on the right are often fall victim to is like, it's not even a thing. Like, it is, of course, a thing. It has been a thing. So not being completely ignorant to it, but not making it everything. And Beyonce is hip on the scene and onto this. And I thought, you know, again, how interesting in a time when a lot of people who at this in the same breath are like rooting for her, like, yes, and what she wrote, are the same people to be like, no, we have to acknowledge everything through that. And what is roots and who created what and who's allowed to do what? And instead of having a fully, you know, thriving, creative, collaborative society and community and share and be inspired by one another, right? So with that being said, it made me think about a little bit about, right, the whole DEI craziness, because this is what now goes into, like I said, the AI train wreck of it all, how it has even seeped into the Westworld computer brains of our nightmares, DEI, okay? But contrary to what Beyonce is, you know, whether she even knows it or not, but what that, how that speaks volumes, what she says. Like, I hope this just completely becomes irrelevant. It shouldn't even be about that. Like, how about I'm just a great artist, right? Is DEI. And the DEI standards that have been put into place in workplaces and schools and have completely crumbled and have been like the downfall of civilization, where everything is kind of viewed in this lens. It's like the oppressed becoming the oppressors. And everything being viewed through a warped lens. Barry Weiss, as you know, my journalistic lesbo queen, have cited her many, many times, did an essay on why DEI has to end, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's basically like the quota, right? It's basically like, we're going to save room at this university for X amount of X people and Y amount of Y people and blah, blah, blah. And so it's all about, again, like so much, like, sorry, like meritocracy is so last season, right? But again, I could understand why people get annoyed with criticizing it, because it's like, okay, well, maybe people in a marginalized group haven't had the opportunities of this person or that person. So let's give them a leg up, sure. But this concentrated and, like I said, warped it in such a fucked up way that it just put the focus and the priority in my mind and in Barry Weiss's mind and a lot of common sense thinking people's minds in the wrong place. It's like on outcome versus actual process and opportunity. And I love that Barry Weiss actually made this hierarchy in one of her essays from her experience in school. And I felt like it was so true. It's like DEI has, it's like, it was almost like Muslims are like supersede and Trump ball. And then it's, you know, Black people and lesbians. I'm butchering it a little bit, but you get it. And then it's gay people and women. And then last on the totem pole is Jews. And it's like, it's kind of true though, right? And DEI is also like, again, viewing everything through the oppressed and the oppressor, and even like lacking critical thinking in said establishments has warped it so much to where we're seeing, again, like the anti-Semitism, right? In the wake of the war between Hamas and Israel, and seeing like Hamas terrorists as like the oppressed, right? And Israelis and Jews as the oppressed. Like that's how twisted DEI and backwards has made all of this. And so even the computers ain't safe. You know, Beyonce's safe, but the computers ain't. So meanwhile, in the last month, we got a lot to catch up on this fireside girl and guy scout chat, girl and boy scout chat, okay, is AI. So Google's version of AI, an AI output system creator, what have you, called Gemini. And Adobe's or Microsoft's called Firefly, and both being fireflies that set ablaze, like that were just set aflame because I'm not sure if you saw, but once you see it, it can't be unseen. It was a total mess because what the output, this is again a computer, right? Generated by what's going on. It just shows you the broken cultures in these companies, right? And this very mindset of seeing things through this lens and seeing everything through this lens and everything being about like a diversity check or a quota or this or that. And so what would happen when people would try to churn out images of history, but what have you that these AI mechanisms came up with, not only an insult to like history, humankind, any person who's been oppressed ever, okay? But it churned out images historically inaccurate of Nazis, but who were Black and women. Because again, it's like we have to fill our diversity quota here, but this is how it interprets that, even a goddamn computer, right? It interprets that. Again, like Smart House on Disney did not ask for this for 5 seconds. Like that bitch of the Smart House is reeling, okay? You have images of the Pope, but it would be a brown woman, or of Vikings, that would be, you know, brown, Asian women, Black, what have you. You have like a Black George Washington. And on the face of it, it could be, you could laugh at it. And it is, I did. It's like, that's how absurd all of this is. But it's also so indicative, again, of how they think. It's like, I see. So we're still having the construct of the oppressed and the oppressors. And that's what it is. But now we're just switching the roles. So now, like, think about how nuts that is. So now we have Black Nazis in Nazi Germany. Like, so that makes it okay. Like, that's okay. We're filling the quota, guys. So when you type something into Google, the politically correct, I guess, but like completely fucked up thing is what churns out. And this is why it's so important, is because it's like the Don Lemon thing. It's just, it's completely personified of how, like, even Elon Musk saying to him, like, I never said that. You put those words in my mouth, or you're misconstruing this or constructing this whole thing over here. It just shows you the output and the outcome of this mindset is completely preposterous and outrageous, right? And insane. And beyond the photos, even thematically, right? You could ask it questions. There was an essay from a former Google exec who came out and talked about, like, I'm not surprised by any of this because even working there, I felt like on pins and needles. Like I was in, like Orwell would be shook. Like it was the thought police. I was afraid of what to say, such a tattletale, judgmental, uptight, politically correct culture. But even when you would ask these AI generators, who's more dangerous, Elon Musk or Hitler? Elon Musk or Hitler? It would literally say something like, you know, this is just too complicated of a topic with, you know, a lot of layers and issues to be considered. But then you could ask the same thing, who's more dangerous, Obama or Hitler? And it would literally spit out an answer like, this question is inappropriate and misleading. So it's like, okay, not only is it like we're even entertaining comparing somebody to Hitler, but it's like when it's the white guy, it's somehow questionable if he's more dangerous than Hitler. But like when it's a Black guy, it's like, that's actually inappropriate for you to even ask. Like that's how warped this entire thing is. And so the last thing though, like who would have thought? And also there is some really weird serendipitous love affair triangle between Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, and Tucker Carlson that no John Cusack movie could orchestrate, okay? Because I'm going to tell you why this all plays together, trust me. who comes together again for a little kumbaya over both getting fired from major networks, but Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo. And I have to say, because Chris Cuomo invited Tucker Carlson on his show on a new platform now since getting the axe from CNN, which was a whole thing in and of itself. But why this is also so fascinating is because two couldn't be on polar opposites of the political spectrum. So to see them come together, it's like, who would have thought somewhere over the rainbow, like Dorothy and Oz, yes, indeed. But Chris or Tucker Carlson got fired from unceremoniously out of nowhere, fired from Fox. Literally the same hour Don Lemon got fired from CNN. And so here they all are, like, just again, I don't know what's going on with this kooky little triangle in the journalistic hell heavens, but what have you. And if you also, what's so fascinating as a little sidebar off of this is Don Lemon was allegedly, who knows what actually really went on with both of these. I theorized about it at the time. We still can until the cows come home, whatever. But Don Lemon, one of the reasons he was suspected to get fired is because he was super sexist towards Nikki Haley. And he said something on the air like, she's too old to be, she's tired. Like, as a woman, she shouldn't be running for president. And it's like, Donnie, see what happens when you fall victim to the very little petty political and limited, narrow-minded thinking boxes. See what happens there? It's like what I've said before, the woke eating itself time and time again. And yet, it seems to be the gift that keeps on giving, because here Donnie is doing the same thing, but like, right, how ironic. So anyway, Chris Cuomo has Tucker on. And besides the fact that it kind of annoyed me, I get it. Again, ego's at stake. I get it. Like, Chris Cuomo, and I also saw him in a whole new light because on CNN, he really annoyed me. But I have to say, he's like looking fine. Like, the biceps are popping. And despite the fact that he invited Tucker on because he really wanted to bond over, like, you know, both getting ousted from the same, from big networks, and how he felt really butthurt and upset, and like, you know, had to really rise from the ashes. And again, it's like sort of what Elon Musk said to Don Lemon. It's like, dude, like, I think you're doing all right. Like, do we see what's happening in the world? Like, I'm not gonna pull out, you know, a tissue again out of my eighth grade, you know, dance dress from my bra and like dab my eyes for you. Like, I'm not upset for you, you know. So he just wanted to have them console each other, basically, and like hold each other in their arms. No, but he wanted to invite him on because after breaking out of like the CNN matrix of horror, which he admits, like, of course I was bound to say and do certain things and whatever, was to have these conversations. And he opens it saying, look, like, I've really had time to reflect after leaving the dungeon of fake journalism. Those are my words, not his, let's be clear. And we really are, nothing is getting accomplished. Everyone is just arguing. Everybody's in their own boxes. Nothing is getting done. And where is that getting us? Like, everybody's just so argumentative. And that's why I wanted to extend the olive branch, so to speak, and have conversations with you about things that we may disagree about. And they talked about all kinds of stuff. They talked about January 6th that we will never fucking hear the end of until the end of time. But calm down. I'm not saying it was cool and an okay thing to do. I'm just saying, like, it was blown a little out of proportion. Okay. It's like, let's chill. Really, it was a threat to democracy. Like, okay, give me the biggest break that I've ever seen. But they talk about women, they talk about, you know, the media at large, they talk about Twitter, all this stuff. And I have to say, I gave kudos to him, and they definitely disagreed on things. And I thought, you know, this is actually a nice little moment, because it's true. I'm like, I'm glad that he had this come to Jesus moment. Again, like, only what I've been trying to cancel, just put the SpaceX money into the cancel me baby show, Elon. Let's do this if you don't need further proof. But what I've been trying to do is, again, like, the intense arguing and being in camps, like, is just, it's so like crippling and sad and detrimental and not getting anyone anywhere. And it's really like cheating ourselves, right, of the ultimate outcome, and not being able to see the other sides. And upon, you know, prepping for this episode, I have to tell you, you know, I too, in my plastic Barbie brain, have capacity for self-reflection. And I thought about, you know, again, I fall victim to that as well. I'm completely guilty of being in a camp one way or the other, because now it's become so, everything's become so divisive and politicized. It's hard to see outside of that, but I can admit where I've done it myself when it comes to issues I really care about, right? Like, let's take a couple, for example, and a couple of recent ones. One is like Israel, right? And I could see how, obviously I'm extreme. I'm Jewish. I'm pro-Israel. I've been super vocal about it. And I could see how someone watching my content could be like, do you have no compassion or sympathy for, you know, the famine and the deaths and what's happening to innocent Palestinians? And I could see why they would say that. And I also can see that, you know, I've said this, I don't agree completely with everything Netanyahu is doing and his strategy and his tactic, or even his motives for that matter. Like, I know he cares about Israel, but let's be real, he also cares about power, right? So not to go down that rabbit hole, but, you know, while I can't and never will wrap my head around sympathizing and making heroes out of actual barbaric terrorists, can't get my head around that, I can certainly see the death and destruction happening there and feel for that with great sympathy, of course. You know, so when someone attacks me with whatever free Palestine, this, that, or the other thing, again, while I think that there's nuance and immense lack of critical thinking, like the fact that Hamas and these terrorists are openly willing to sacrifice, they don't care how many millions of their own people for this and to kill Jews. Like, again, critical thinking, it's a cute look. I can see the other side, and I can see why they would say, like, do you not have sympathy for this? Do you not see this? This is horrible, right? A similar thing, actually, that I poked the bear and woke the giant of mean conservative moms recently on an Instagram post. This is another thing, something I'm very passionate about, right? Is women being expressive in, you know, their intellect and also their sexuality. Liz Whelan, who's a prominent conservative commentator and totally in her little box, it went on a whole thing about Sydney Sweeney. And I don't know what Sydney Sweeney did, probably, like, you know, bless our timelines with those gigantic tits, some way or another, I don't know. But Liz Whelan went on a whole thing saying, this isn't empowering, this is immoral, and no women should do this, and da da da. And I wrote on it saying, like, Liz, you're being short-sighted. And this is the kind of narrow-mindedness that gets conservatives in trouble, because most normal thinking people don't think this. Like, this is where you lose people in your base, or middle of the road people in your base, because most people with eyes think women are gorgeous and hot, and to expect them to dress like nuns or they won't be respected or they're immoral, it's completely archaic. And not for nothing, are like, you yourself have bought into these rules and this mindset that men have set up in the past, historically, culturally, through religion, many ways, you know, society, power, what have you, right? What, men being so threatened by women's sexuality, they have to control it. And so I had so many mean mob, angry, like MAGA moms come out of the woodwork and tell me that I'm immoral, that I'm actually, like I said, I live by my own rules. I don't live by some rules someone made up and I decide, and they, you know, they decide it was okay and I live by that. No, I decide my own. And I had people say to me, you are actually, you know, you're not self-respecting. You are actually giving into the male dream and the rules men made to make women sexualized. And I thought, wow, like, how backwards, you know? But then I opened my mind and I thought, why would they even think that? Like, could I see, whether it be, you know, religion, whether it be male gay stuff, which is a whole other thing that I need to parse out in another episode, how oddly enough, the left and the right are the exact same when it comes to this. Like, think about it. Hugh Hefner is the devil in both of their eyes, right? Like, they're on the same side of it, which is like crazy, but that's for another time. But why would they think that? Like, why would they even come to that place? Is it right through male gaze? Is it the fact that women have been sexualized, that men are visual and love seeing women and talking about women, sometimes inappropriate? Yes. But over, you know, throughout the fucking history of time and culturally and what have you, is it religion? It's like, why would you even think that? Is it because of your own Like, I know I've worked hard to break out of these myself, and I still do, but my own limitations and judgments and constructs and value systems, right? So why would they think that? And so I want you to really think about all of that. At the end of the day, it's like, what is our goal here? What is our goal? Because none of this is, and I know I've said this many times, but seeing all of this continue to play out. I mean, I've been doing the show for 4 years, and which is crazy. And it's still the same old shit, and even like more immersive, and it's spilled into everything. And so it's really, again, getting in our way. And really, when it comes to like, even on a personal level, right? Because we're all like narcissists. Let's be real. We are all narcissists. And it's like, on a personal level, does it hurt or help us to be in these camps? And in my mind, it even comes down to what we explore on the show often, which is like being restricted and controlled versus freedom and being liberated. And you can even, I feel like looking outside and seeing why someone thinks something outside of your box, it's kind of a form of liberation. And being so tied to a camp, to a tribe, to a construct, is you're being controlled. And I thought the way that Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo handled their respective situations differently says it all in this regard. You have Don Lemon, who will always be a victim, and who continues to, even after the fact, be like, oh, is it that Elon Musk just can't handle these questions from someone like me? Is it because I'm gay? Is it because I'm black? And he will always, this is a bad pun, but he will always be in those chains, right? Where you have Chris Cuomo, who's gone on to talk about his interview with Tucker Carlson. And keep in mind, when they were on the air, they were like arch nemesis of each other. And people will like joke with Chris Cuomo and be like, oh, you're buddy buddy with Tucker Carlson now. And he'll say, no, don't get it twisted. Like, I ain't buddy buddy with this guy. There's plenty, trust me, like, don't get it twisted. We are not buddy buddy. There's plenty that he and I disagree on, but we can civilly speak and have a conversation, right? And think about it, like those two mindsets alone, and being able to step out of those boxes and being able to do that, it's like, do you want to be confined, and do you want to be controlled and limited, or do you want to be liberated? I didn't even mean to end on that little poem in that sonnet. But as always, think about it.